everyone. Welcome. Good evening. Welcome to Soul Sister Radio with Susan and Paula. I'm Susan Mullen, intuitive and certified intuitive coach, and I'm here with my soul sister, Paula Hillick, author and founder of the Think, Care, Share Global Movement. Our topic tonight is Journey of the Soul. What happens after we die? What is the soul? And, you know, is that part of our physical body? Is it, what happens? Connected or is it separate? As well as, you know, what about our pets and our beloved, you know, fur babies and the animals that we share the planet with? Do they have souls? So we do have a special guest with us tonight, and I cannot wait to introduce her in a little bit. Animal communicator and teacher, Karen Clothier. She is from New York, and she is here on the line with us tonight. And she's just such, I've worked with her, I know her, and that's why, you know, I really wanted to call her in tonight, because her perspective is really beautiful from her work and her intuitive gifts with the animal species and the sentient beings that we share the world with. You know, we're human, but, you know, there are tons of, you know, other species and sentient beings, really, that we're sharing the sacred earth with. So I just love that she's here, because I think that's an important part, and I think Paula does too. It's an important part of the conversation. You know, we can talk about humans and ourselves and what we think and feel, but I love the perspective of someone who can tell us, you know, what they're seeing and feeling from the animal world, and I just really respect her view. So we're just thrilled to have her, and we will introduce her shortly. So I'd love to just start with just saying hey to Paula. Hi, and how was your week, and how are you
doing tonight? Hey, Susan. Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Susan, you know, was it a couple weeks ago we talked about Mercury in retrograde, or was it last week? I can't even remember at this point.
Yeah, I think you and I have. Yeah,
a couple weeks ago at least. And I've been traveling for work. It was unavoidable. Part of what we talked about in that show was, if you can avoid it, don't be traveling during this time, which I can't remember. I think started around May 18th, Mercury in retrograde, and ends around June 11th, something like those dates. But just about everything we talked about in that radio show has happened to me over the last couple of weeks, with problems with communication, losing jewelry, travel delays and changes, extreme fatigue and confusion. And you know, I didn't know anything about Mercury in retrograde, and so it wasn't as if I was really expecting these things to happen, but the lovely thing was that when they were happening, or when something did happen, I would say, oh, this is Mercury in retrograde, and it will be passing, and not get so invested in the experience as it was happening, and just sort of be a little bit more flexible and go with the flow. But I have had so many travel problems on my last trip, more than I've had in the last 20 years of traveling. So it's been interesting and kind of funny in a way.
Wow, that is so interesting. You know, and I remember we talked briefly. I know I had a big week. You were gone. You had a big week. And we did touch base a little bit through text. And she's like, I do remember this now. It's coming back. It's like, my flight was delayed. My cab took me to a different hotel. Really, you're right. Everything that could have happened to you happened.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's just, it's incredible. Well, similarly, here in my world here, my washing machine died. So we ordered a new one. That's, you know, gone. The air conditioner that goes in my bedroom is not working suddenly this year, which I happened to put in last week. It was very hot. So we have these electrical things going on. And a lot of things, you know, in my personal life, and this last week was a little bit, you know, heavy. And I know I touched upon it on last week's show, and with my daughter, and, you know, just a beautiful soul in our community. A young man was just, you know, we lost him too soon in a random act of violence. And it's been a week of dealing with just emotions for me. And you know, kind of the big questions in life. And it drew me to choose this topic tonight is, you know, I was speaking to a lot of young people, and my age too, but, you know, a lot of kids, and I was looking at faces and feeling pain I didn't feel when I was 19. I didn't experience it. And I'm looking, you know, through my daughter's eyes and listening to her and just saying what I can say. But as a general, you know, collectiveness, consciousness, so many people, it doesn't matter how old you are, how old I am, how old they are, we all wonder and we all feel the same things. But this show is really not, you know, it's really uplifting because I just feel, what does happen to the soul when it journeys? I know I have what I think and feel and in my work and what I see and witness, but a lot of people don't really have that. And I really wanted to gather a conversation tonight with you, Paul, and with Karen. I pulled her in because we love our pets too. They're such parts of our family that I thought it would be a great uplifting, positive conversation on the journey of the soul. And it was a very heart-opening, you know, week for me. And I know, you know, from just being my age, it's like I know that death isn't easy. And it wasn't intended. It's never easy to say, you know, goodbye to somebody, whether it's too soon or, you know, whenever, it doesn't matter. But it's just to be experienced. That's sort of part of the human condition. It's like nobody plans for the passing of a loved one, but it's always been part of the plan. And so, but it doesn't make it, you know, easy, but it's like, well, what next? What does happen on the soul's journey? So, I'm going to pull a card on that note. And before we get into it and before I ask Paula, I'm going to pull a card. It was time. And this is for the collective audience that's listening live right now and that may listen to us in a future archived program. It doesn't matter. If you're listening, this question is for you. So I'm asking my guides to come in. Highest team, Archangel. Archangel Michael. Michael is here. Okay. What is the message on this topic for the collective audience right now? I like this card. It's called Moonlight, and it's upright, and I'm going to read it. Your intuition allows you to see beyond the mundane. Logical and analytical follow it. Moonlight beckons. Come and trust your intuition to lead you into places that may not seem logical. Your hunches will be right on target. Resist second-guessing yourself, for your alternative perception is especially sharp right now. You can see beyond the surface of things and truly read between the lines. This is a good time to use cards or other systems of divination to gain information. Remember that the language of intuition is a symbolic one. It comes subtly through a hunch, a tingling, a clear sound, or an animal or object crossing your path. Spirit is sending you messages to help you right now. Success is yours if you follow the signs. So, once again, because I think I say this every week, that could not be more perfect. And I know Karen is somewhere listening going, perfect for this particular call, because we are always being presented with signs, symbols, animal totems, tingling, you know, I call them truth bumps. That's my word. When I get head-to-toe validation, I get that often, and that's my body's way of saying, yep, you know, that's how I know. So it's saying trust, just trust. So Paula, you know, on that note, what are your thoughts? You know, what happens to the soul, or do you have a perspective or any experiences to share, you know, of what happens?
Yeah, you know, several things were coming to me. Just want to share them with you in the spirit of conversation, like you and I always have. But it was funny because while you were talking about, you know, having these conversations with all these kids in your house, I was thinking about the weirdest thing is I've been having conversations with people who have been telling me about their fear of losing either like their parents, their partners, or their children this week. And it just sort of struck me as I was listening to you how many times I've actually had that conversation with different people. So you were having this overt exchange over an event, right? And I was sort of having this sort of more, I don't know if you call it passive connection, where somehow I would end up in these conversations with people, but really about the same thing. Because no matter how or when we lose our loved ones, we lose them from this physical sphere. And for many people, they may not believe that they go on, you know, to a different plane or a different dimension and have any access to them after death. You and I both, you know, I know you and you know me, so we know that each of us believes in the physical life and the spiritual life and the energetic life. And, you know, just through some of our experiences, things that we've shared with each other, we know that we are getting messages all the time. And physically, I'm affected by spirit all the time. And I've had some interesting things happening that way this week. You know, spirit is always touching me in different spots, right? My hands get rubbed a lot. The back of my hands get rubbed a lot by spirit. If I have particularly aggressive spirits around that want to connect with me, they sometimes will sort of punch the side of my arm. If I'm not really paying attention for it, it might take a lot to get my attention. But, you know, I love, when you actually said the word divination, I got tingles. Because, you know, once you start to, and I also loved in the card, the actual language of that card was resist second guessing. Such an interesting turn of phrase, right? Resist second guessing, as opposed to I'm just struck by that. To resist the second guessing, as opposed to just trust the symbols and the images that you're getting. The other thing that's been going on with me during this time at Mercury in retrograde is the dreams that I'm having are so big, so charged, so visual. I wake up with, like, a full visual memory, like I've just watched a movie, and, like, full sort of emotion in my body, and I've, you know, been writing that stuff down and journaling about it. But for me, of course, I do believe that, life isn't one physical incarnation. I personally believe that I've been here to this planet many times. I've been through past life regressions many times. In my past life regressions, Jesus, for example, has come to me in two of them, and I know that he talks to me on a regular basis in this life, you know, that period of time when you're waking up in the morning before you're really fully awake. Not just Jesus, but the angels and my guides communicate with me really easily during that time. So when I have issues or problems, I sort of lay them on my chest when I go to bed and ask for them to, you know, take them, deliver me, or assist me. And I know you're going to introduce Karen here in a second, but the other thing that keeps coming to me, you and I have mentioned it before, I talk about this book a lot, I've talked about it on this show, is that, you know, that book by, it's called, I think it's Neil Donald Walsh wrote that book, The Little Soul in the Sun. And again, I just keep getting that message over and over and over and over and over. And I love that book. It's funny, you know how you and I talk about psychic amnesia, Susan?
Yes.
I love books. I have a sharp memory for remembering dialogue written in books. I have a visual memory. It's like I read that book and I'm just sort of left with the premise of it, like the idea of it, but it's like I forget about the interior of that book. I don't know. There's something going on with spirit that it forces me to go back and read and reread and read that book. Do you know what I mean? Because I don't seem to be able to paraphrase it for people unless I go back and read it and make post-it notes. And I think it's spirit's way of actually getting the messages that are in that book into me over and over and over. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes total sense to me. And I think a lot of listeners will resonate with what you're saying, because I think I agree. It's like I think we are drawn and we resonate with certain things or vibes, and we'll come in contact with a person, place, or thing, or book, or realm, you know, and that speaks to us. And where our guides or a different realm, I call it, you know, the higher realms or the other side or heaven or whatever language, you know, we happen to grow up in, it's neither right or wrong. It's just how we're raised. We have our own language that suits us and that sits with our soul. So if I say like God, heaven, or the other side, it's like don't get offended. It's like it doesn't matter. It's like there's one place, you know, we all know there's probably one place or two places, and it's the same thing. But anyway, I'm getting off track. So when you say yes, you're just drawn to that. It's like our guides. I'm the same way. I will have something come in my mind or my head and to remind me and pull me back to remember this, Susan. You know, this is, you know, coming up in front of you again, because you're just to be reminded of either why you're here, what you're doing, or that it's worth it. And I love that book, you know, resonates with you, because it just reminds me of how spirit works. I just feel like I know that when I'm doing my work, or, you know, my intuitive work, or I'm talking with clients, and I don't know where it comes from. I just know what I see in my head and the images and the words I hear and the feelings in my body. So my entire being is a sponge, and my job is just translating what I'm getting and putting it out there in a language that my client can understand. And even myself, I'm always interpreting things myself too. I mean, it begins with me, but I can also do it for other people. So it's coming from somewhere. It doesn't matter where I go. I can just look and something is there or is speaking to me, you know. So, and like for me, I always knew there was always another realm. And as a little girl, I didn't have the language yet, because I just, you know, was here and I was young. But I always knew there was another realm, which I call it the other side. You know, but I was grown up, you know, I was raised, you know, Catholic. But when I was in second grade, I just remember, you know, as the youngest of four girls, and I just remember like begging my mother, "Mom, can I just stop now? I get it. I respect what they're doing. I know. I already talk to God every night. I already talk to this other person in my room. She talks to me every night. So, but Mom, can I please?" And it wasn't that I was disrespectful or didn't believe. It wasn't that at all. It was that I was respectful, but it wasn't me. And at a very young age, I knew what was me and what wasn't. But as I grew and got older, it became embellished, and I lost track. So that's when I kind of lost my way of staying true and following, you know, what was in front of me anyway. And that kind of clouded my spiritual journey, which I got reconnected with as I grew, and, you know, later in life. But, you know, but I do believe that there's this universal love and wisdom, and, you know, it's God. To me, it's God. I just believe there is a creator, and I didn't create me, and I know for a fact I don't know any human that can say they created animals. So until I find that person, you know, there's something out there. There's something bigger, and I know it, I feel it, and I feel connected to it. That's just my experience. And so anyway, so on that note, I would love to introduce Karen, our special guest. So let me tell you a little bit about her before we bring her on. You know, animal communicator, and she's a teacher, Karen Clothier. I met her through my classes and, you know, the intuitive world that we're in, and, you know, we became friends. But before that, I personally took a class with her, and it was an animal communication course. But actually, before that, I hired her. And I wanted communication with my three cats. They needed something. I was traveling, and I'm like, oh, Karen's the one. She's in my circle. I need someone to talk to my cats. And she gave me three beautiful readings. My fourth time with Karen was with my deceased cat, who, you know, if anybody really grew up with a pet for 20 years or less, you know, or so, you just know, you're just spiritually connected. They're your family. It can be somebody's first heartbreak, can be an animal, the loss of an animal. And I, you know, after my three cats, I brought her in for that cat. And she just knocked it out of the park. And there was just so much I remember from that reading that I received from her that just told me, this woman was in touch with my cat. And it was very special. So I thought she'd be a great addition to tonight's show about the soul. You know, do animals have soul? We want to know that as well. She has worked for the past 10 years connecting and communicating with many animals, bringing peace to their humans. Teaching is her passion, as is sharing her experiences. She works in love and integrity with her gifts and finds it an honor and privilege to do what she does. She resides in the Adirondacks of New York with her family and five dachshunds. But, you know, aside from that, I just am just happy and excited to welcome her and just want to say a big hello. And I'm very pleased to have you here, Karen. Say hello.
Hi, Susan and Paula. It's so nice of you guys to have me here. I love this. And while you were drawing your card, I thought it might be appropriate for me to grab my deck on animals. And I shuffled it and asked my guides, and I got Hummingbird. And it just is so fitting to tonight's show because of what you experienced this week, Susan, you know, with what you experienced. The message is joy and lighten up. As I was reading the book, it was basically don't take life so seriously. There's just so much out there that we take so serious. And it's supposed to be just light. And, of course, we're going to experience one of the things that it does say is, yes, there are tragedies and losses, which really blew me away, Susan, with what's happened this week. And it said it's best to give yourself time and space to grieve, to release the tears, to let them fall away, eventually let your grief transmute to joyful remembrance and warm feelings for those who have come before you. For who and what has come before. It says there's such precious little time on this beautiful planet. Make every moment count. Love, and then love some more, and no matter what else is going on. And one of the messages is flexibility, sensitivity, vibration is in color, which I thought just was so fitting for tonight's show. I sat here smiling as I read Hummingbird. So Hummingbird welcomes everybody.
Beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That speaks volumes to the whole energy of this week and topic, and I think for a lot of people. I really do. I feel like there's a collective here, more than just the three of us. I know that we have listeners right now, and I know that those who listen on the archives are going to really connect with what you just said. And real quick, I want to throw out our call-in number. If anybody wants to call in and ask a question to Paula, myself, or Karen, you know, about our perspectives or the loss or the soul journey, anything about animals, please call 1-917-889-7074. Karen is lovingly showing up to share her experiences, but she's not doing animal readings tonight. But she is here to answer questions about, you know, the loss of pets and where do they go and what does she see when she communicates with them? And it's beautiful. So, Karen, so tell us, how did you know you could communicate with animals, and how did it begin for you?
Oh, my gosh. I was just a very young girl, and I just remember my parents, they always had dogs. Our first dog was a Springer Spaniel type, or a Cocker Spaniel. And I just had this deep connection with her as a little tiny girl, is like 2.5, 3 years old. I just had this really unique connection. It was like I could feel her soul. But I was just too young to understand what was going on. And then later on, we had cats and we had three dachshunds. And as I got older, I realized that well, the connection became so deep that I was able to hear voices from them. And I was little, so I duplicated the voices. And it was just like, I just didn't know what it was. I just assumed everybody could hear what I could hear and do what I could do. To me, it was just like, why is everybody right. looking at me like that? That's what the dogs are saying, you know? It's like, yeah. and they have their voices, because when their voices went, and I mean, I'm like you, they lived, you know, 16 years. So I was probably 18 years old when they passed. And, you know, I just still felt that connection. Like one of my dogs I held all night long before, as he was dying, and I felt his soul coming through me. He was just like, he was beautiful in my arms. His soul was gentle. He was just loving that I was there with him when he crossed. And it was right. just, the voices went. And it was when the voices, I couldn't do their voices anymore. They were gone. And I remember years later, 10 years later, when I had my kids and I told my kids about these experiences, I couldn't, they were like, do the voice. And I tried and it wasn't there. They were gone. And so then I just thought, wow, that is very interesting. Why did the voices go? And, oh my gosh, I don't know. It was years later, that I had a Labrador retriever that basically dropped dead one morning at 5.5 years old, right in front of me and my two sons. And it was awful. And the biggest part of all of that, and I think that my lesson with her was that she was going to show me what I could do. She was here to show me what I came here to do, because she stayed in the house. She, you know, you could hear her moans and her, you know, sighs when she was tired, and really just sent me on a huge spiritual path. And I just couldn't read enough books. I was like Paula, you know, I was just like reading books. I kept reading the same ones over, trying to get the messages that were in them. And that was where it went from there. And then years down the road again from there, because it wasn't something that many years ago that you could really talk about openly. People judged you, you know, and I didn't right. talk about it openly. I hid a lot of it inside. And then years later, I was working with, I took all the Reiki classes and I became attuned to the highest Reiki. And when I did that, that opened up more. It opened up the feelings of the energy so that then it matched what I was feeling inside. And it opened me up intuitively, like really wide open. And it was sort of like almost like blending with humans. So then I was more intuitive with humans as well. And it just went on from there. I was working with a woman's alpacas and just sending them Reiki energy. She had hired me, and I was working with three or four of them. And they were talking to me as I was sending them the Reiki. So finally one day I thought, well, you know what, I'm just going to tell her what they say. If she doesn't appreciate me, then, you know, that'll be it. But she was like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're better than my animal communicator. And it just spiraled from there. And I just realized how much I loved it. How much a part of me it is. It truly is.
Oh, that's beautiful. I just want to touch upon what you just said, is when you blended with humans, when, you know, it blended, when you were communicating with animals, it blended in with humans. And I'm finding when I'm blending in, you know, communicating with humans, I took your class and I could blend with animals. So I think the whole realm there, that this is telling me, and this is an awesome point of the whole conversation, is what about the soul of the animal? What have you found? Do you find the soul of an animal is similar to the soul of a human, or has, you know, not the same objective from its creator, but do you feel there's a creator for human souls and for animal souls? And where do you think animal souls go?
That's a loaded question. Souls go the same place the human souls go, because we will see them. I believe that we will see them when we cross over. All of them. They're all there waiting for us. They'll come even with us, you know, while we're crossing over. Because I spent the most miraculous night, and when I say it, you know, the communication with animals blends with the people, the night before my father passed away, 2 days after Christmas, I couldn't be with him because I have so many allergies. I couldn't stay the night in the nursing home, or I wouldn't have been, wouldn't have made it to the funeral even, because it makes me deathly ill. And I felt devastated. So I basically connected with my father the way that I would connect with an animal that was deceased, even though my father wasn't gone yet. I connected with him like that. And I spent the whole night with him while he was transitioning, and it was just like a miracle. And I didn't even realize it until I came down from that the next day, which was rather difficult to even come down from it. I woke up and it was like, what just happened, you know? But I remembered being awake most of the night, but just in that state of where you are when, like Paula was talking, when you first wake up in the morning and you're still in that state where everything can come to you. That was like I was in that state all night long, and my father was showing me his horse that was there and animals that he had had. And so they were there. They were there in his field as he was transitioning. So my belief, you know, my beliefs were just like, oh, my gosh, you know. So what I believe is true, because I've communicated with so many deceased animals, and I mean, they're waiting for us. You know, they're with us most of the time, but they're also waiting for us so that when we cross over, they will be there with us when we cross over. We will be with them again.
Karen?
Yes?
Karen, do you think that the soul inhabits, the soul has many lives and can inhabit a human body or an animal body? Is it really the same? Is it the same soul energy, I guess I'm asking? Or is the idea that animals always come back in animal form and humans always come in human form? Or is it just sort of like there's a soul energy and it can come in an animal form or it comes in a human form?
The second. I believe a soul can come back either or, because I've actually read animals that have... I read a little kitty, a beautiful kitty. Well, it's an adult kitty, but he showed me that he was a little boy. And I had a second reading with him like 6 months later. And that little boy is still there, that little boy. And he lives with his mom and a little boy that he is just like one with, this little boy that loves this kitty so, because they're both little boys. That kitty is
right.
A kitty, but he's still that little boy.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing, and it always humbles me. It's like I've just always humbled when I have something like that happen. I think it's amazing, and I believe that, I truly believe I must have been an animal several times, because I just can communicate. Because I can just get along with any animal on a soul level. It's harder for me on a human level.
Well, I always jokingly used to say when I was in a cranky mood, I was pretty sure I used to be a Wolverine.
That's so funny that you would say that, because, Paula, I've had so many dreams about a Wolverine trying to eat my dachshunds. That is so crazy.
That's hysterical.
Oh my
God.
Oh, and of course,
God.
I always
don't want
end up
them. I promise you, Karen. I'm well fed.
Well, that's good. Well, listen, I finally dealt with the dream. In the dream, I finally took the Wolverine and I just carefully threw him and said, "You'd leave my dogs alone and don't come back." And I never had the dream again. So.
It never happened. Yeah.
No.
Well, it was the crankiness, and you know how the Wolverine sort of puts its back to people, and you know, it's often portrayed as a loner and very tenacious, right? So won't sort of give up at things. And that's why I've always sort of used it. But completely in love with the hummingbird. And as Susan knows, I had what I call a biographical collage done by this graphic designer. And also, I would say that 2014 for me was the year of the hummingbird and the robin. Every time I went outside, literally, if I was sort of in my own head thinking about something, robins would either squawk at me and pull me right out of my thought process or literally down in front of me. And my husband's father passed away in March 2014. And ever since then, my husband, whenever he's outside, sees rabbits. And not just sees rabbits, but he'll open the door at 5:30 a.m. on a cold morning, and there'll be a rabbit sitting on the step. And he'll be looking at the rabbit, and the rabbit will be just sitting there looking up at him. And my husband, as Susan knows, is new to all of these ideas, and he always says he doesn't see anything or hear anything, and so he's not experienced this stuff himself. But he knows a lot about it about phenomena because of me and my son. But anyway, right. When I'm out with my husband, rabbits run across our path, or or if even we're in the car, a rabbit will run across. I never see rabbits unless I'm with my husband. And this year, it's just, and so now he said, "Oh my God, I must be going crazy. I'm standing on the porch saying, Dad, is that you?"
Hey, he should be doing that. I just got such energy. Every time you said a rabbit, every time you did, the energy was just flowing right down through me. He should be talking to that rabbit because, he's like, he should just say, "Yep, okay, Dad, I got it. You can come back as yourself now if you'd like," or something to that effect. That's beautiful that he's using the rabbit. Is there anything that your father-in-law ever... that you knew about rabbits? Like, did he have a connection? Did he have rabbits as a little kid? Did he, was
there
a connection?
That's a really good question. And what I would say is I have no idea and never thought to say that. Like, here's something else that's been in my consciousness now that you've mentioned that, and I don't know why. Maybe this will sound totally terrible, is that my husband's father was Irish, completely Irish. This is so convoluted. You're going to have to stick with me to connect the dots here. But
okay.
I'm in love with the whole Outlander series, the books and the TV movies, the TV shows they just made. Are you familiar with the series?
No, I'm not. I did have a friend tell me about that, though, a couple of weeks ago.
Well, no matter. But part of what they go through in the book is a famine in Europe, right? And for some reason, I was thinking about that and another movie called Rambling Rose, where she was an orphan child and grew up in a famine. And again, a doctor had examined her and said, this child ate protein growing up, but she obviously had meat because of her bone structure or something. And what they determined was that their family had rabbits and had raised rabbits for protein. I know this is going to sound completely crazy, but that's kind of a message that I've been sort of getting is, I don't know, I'm going to ask that question, and I know it's terrible to say on this show, but what I'm sort of getting is his father, they may have ate rabbits. Do you know what I mean?
I was just thinking that very same thing.
Yes, they made it.
Maybe that time, I mean, back in those days,
yeah,
they ate a lot of that stuff to keep alive. They hunted
to keep alive, and so maybe there's just some message of just this message of I don't know, like almost like it's okay, like the animal that dies, like if they ate rabbits and killed a rabbit so that they could live, so that they wouldn't starve, so that they would have food. It's like it's okay. Like I'll it's gonna make me cry. Actually.
Oh. Yeah, it is okay. That's Do you have okay. something, Susan? Did you get something?
Paula, I just looked up Animal Totem because I think when my mom shows up as a cardinal, I know that for a fact. I've talked to her. My mom is a cardinal. I get a cardinal. Today, Karen, I was on the phone with you. Who showed up at your window? A cardinal.
A cardinal
and
shows up every time I talk to you, Susan.
Exactly. And, that's animals show up, and so I just looked up, while you guys were chatting, I looked up the rabbit. It says rabbits normally live alone in the wild, making their homes by burrowing underground. Rabbits are curious animals who like to explore their surroundings. They live on a few acres of land and become familiar with every square inch. They are territorial creatures who will fight over their piece of land. Their eyes can see in every direction, and they will watch a bird in the air while watching a predator on the ground. Their ears will stand up. All the characteristics combined with their willingness to run away are what rabbits use to defend themselves against predators. Rabbit is often connected with fear because they are timid and constantly on guard. Rabbit in your path wants us to learn how to face our fear and know when to defend our space or walk away. Rabbit shows us that defending ourselves doesn't always involve fighting back. He teaches us to listen carefully to what is going on in our environment so we can accurately use our intuition when in danger. So maybe that means something to your husband or his father.
I actually got a really clear message, which is what sort of has opened me up here and made me feel so tearful. But the message is, funny how they come, but the message is really that he gave up his life for him so he could live the life he wanted. My father-in-law had a lot of control over my husband, and they loved each other dearly. We're best friends, talked every day, but I think my husband has desires in him, a different life he needs to live. And he never could have done it if his dad was alive.
That's funny because my card says sacrifice. For my book here on animals says agility and sacrifice for the rabbit.
Yeah, and the message I'm getting really is, I gave up my life for you to live the life that, you know, that you were meant to. That rabbit will literally give up their life.
So they do. They sacrifice. Yeah, they sacrifice. There's so many of them. They sacrifice themselves so other animals can have food.
They do. And they are, you know, they're a human totem, too. I mean, the rabbit is something to, I mean, not to be morbid, but, like, people want the rabbit foot or tail, whatever that is. It's like, it's a thing to, you want to encompass that. And you want a pet rabbit. You want to eat rabbit. It's like rabbit is the multiplier, is like the factor that keeps everything producing. We need, you know, they're known for a lot of things, and it's to make life go on. That makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. That's really beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Oh, Paula, I love that.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's awesome. I think that's just a beautiful message.
It is very beautiful.
Very powerful, you know. I mean, that's what, you know, and it's like, Karen, I know when I worked with you and I, you know, was taking your class, I took animal communication, you know, the beginner, and I loved it. I got to use all my spidey senses, right? Everything I could do with people applied to animals. And just like Paula is learning, and I mean, not learning, but, you know, what happened right now. It was like a beautiful experience that we're all connected. We're all interconnected. And it just makes me feel like a soul is a soul is a soul. And we all have messages. We all have, you know, a divine right to walk the earth and to breathe and to eat. Some of us came to be consumed. Some of us came to be loved and adored, but to live in the integrity, just with the integrity that the Creator intended is that line, right, is what I feel from animals, from what I've read. And I've spoken to Quinny, I've spoken to your dog, and many wild animals in your class. It was lovely. It was like, it was just a beautiful experience. And I got profound messages from wild animals and pets. And I just loved what I heard and learned, and words that would never have come into my head, you know? So
thank you.
I think it's just,
I just, Yeah. I just love that the animals have so much to teach us. They really do. When I finally did that meditation, I got that beautiful sea turtle. That's the last animal that I thought that I would get in a meditation. And over the past few weeks since I got it, well, the animal gave me his name and where he lives in the waters around Italy. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is like really profound. It's the messages is that the wild animals have for us, and the birds are full of messages. And I think that's why a lot of times souls that have crossed over people will use the animals to bring the messages through, because not that right. many of us would believe a stranger. If a stranger walked up and said something really strange to us, you know, I think it would be ignored. But if an animal or a bird shows itself to us, I just really think that you'd pay more attention, especially if it keeps showing up over and over.
Exactly. And, you know,
actually
exactly.
Had a dove. I think I told you that, Susan. I had a beautiful dove show up at 1 o'clock in the morning after probably 6 weeks after my 16-year-old dachshund had crossed over. And I had told Michael to come back and give me messages, just because I wanted that. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to feel him back. I did, and I say that to all my animals. And one night, or one morning at 1 o'clock in the morning, this beautiful dove came out of nowhere and came down and zoomed in front of me like a helicopter and just stayed in one spot looking at me. He made eye contact with me. And my two dogs saw him, and I mean, I knew I wasn't seeing things. When they saw him, they jumped up and barked, and he just made that little contact with me, and then he was gone as mysteriously as he came. And I just think that's so beautiful that we can have those experiences if you're open.
And your dog's
just,
name was Michael?
Yes.
Isn't that funny,
Susan? I
can't
remember Michael. How many Michaels in our life? How many do we have, Paula, between
my
us?
My husband's
we have
name
six.
Is Michael.
My husband's
Susan's
name
husband's
Michael.
Name is Michael.
Oh,
and
my
we
gosh.
Met through
we
a Michael.
We met through a Michael. And now there's Michael
gosh.
The dog. Karen, that I just want to share real quick that I love that, because I love the doves, and this just reminds me, you know, it's just another experience that I just think might help somebody listening right now. Is I remembered a very deep meditation I had. I was doing this, you know, very deep work. It was a very deep healing meditation, and I was just all, you know, just by myself, and you know, you're in your own world when you're doing the meditations. Suddenly, Michael, the Archangel Michael, came to me in the form of a dove. And he had these gorgeous, big, beautiful white wings and just enveloped me, you know, in a hug. And it was just a very tricky time of my life. And he just said, you are here to experience so that you can help others with their experiences. And it was like perfect timing. I was like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just coming off of a bad thing in my life, you know, hard and difficult, and going into something new. It was like he brought into a 2-second sentence that summed up my entire life. And
wow,
it was just
beautiful.
It was heard in my soul. And it was, those aren't words I would say. Those are words from 1900. No, those are not, that is not a sentence I would say to anybody. And I kept the words because I didn't want to change them. I didn't want to modernize them because that's not me. I would not say it that way, but I understood it on a soul level. So
what were the words?
I really think.
Say?
What was that?
What were the words?
He said, you are here to experience so that you can help others with their experiences. And I thought it was very lovely. And I knew it wasn't of me, because I would not have worded it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it came to me and I wrote it down. And I wrote the whole thing down. It was part of what I submitted to my, when I went through intuitive coaching. I had like a 2-year process of work and learning, but I it was part of it. And
So can I share with you, again, we're coming full circle here in this conversation, because that is the book, The Little Soul in the Sun, That is exactly it in a synopsis, is that we're here to experience and help others experience. Are you familiar with the book, Karen, The Little Soul in the Sun?
I have never read that one. I read the other ones that he did, the Talking to God. I forgot what the name of them were.
Yeah, the Conversations with God.
Yes.
Those are print, they're text. These are picture books meant to be, I guess, for kids with limited text.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen that.
And again, that's the thing. I'm visual. I remember pictures, but it's like I don't even remember the pictures in this book till I go back to it. And just very quickly, Susan, because we're coming to the end, it's about all of us being together in the light, you know, whether with God or heaven, the other side, whatever you want to call it, and the soul saying, you know, God says you cannot see yourself as light when you are in the light. So we will surround you with darkness so you will know yourself as light. And then another soul says, I will come back with you and help give you this terrible experience so that you can feel forgiveness, so that your soul can learn forgiveness. And so in this particular story, the soul that's going to come back and do the really bad deed says, thus we have come together, you and I, many times before, each bringing to the other the exact and perfect opportunity to express and to experience who we really are. And so the friendly soul said, I will come into the next lifetime and be the bad one this time. I will do something really terrible, and then you can experience yourself as the one who forgives. And then that soul says, what when I do this very terrible thing to you, then you have to remember who I am, and you have to forgive me, because if you don't remember who I am, I won't remember who I am. So then what the soul says is, then we will need another soul to come along and remind us of who we both are.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful.
That is beautiful. You know, Paula, I've said this to you before, I've never read that book, but that is like music to my ears. That just makes it like, now I get it. Now that resonates with what I believe. It's just innately, it's like, we're all just here learning different lessons, and we come in soul groups, and we go back, and we go, what do you need to learn next time? All right, I'm going to be that one for you, but don't hate me on the other side. But
we'll just change rules, like, you know, your favorite expression, we're all just walking each other home.
Yes, exactly. And like I need someone like Paula and Karen to remind me who I am. You're my life mates on my journey, but I also have some mates that came to teach me hard lessons, as we all do. We, you know, and if we can look in that perspective, and it kind of makes sense. It may make sense in a lot of on a soul level, but we have to be open. We have to be willing to question, you know, what we grew up with or what is taught. That will always be different than what's in our soul, because we all grew up somehow, right? And it's just, and I just love the meaning of the cards tonight, and the rabbit meaning, and the hummingbird, and the cardinal, and the whole thing in my card was be open. If we're fluid, open, and just do no harm, but just walk each other home and take care of ourselves, you know, we're going to have a more experience that is going to feed us and suit us, the soul that we signed up to be.
Well, I want to let you know that I've received 3 messages, of course, because 3 is my number, of people who are listening to the show right now saying, great show.
Oh, I love it.
That's nice.
Thanks, everyone.
That's nice. So
that's
thank
beautiful.
You, Karen. For
thank
being
you
here.
Both for having
yeah.
me. I
so
just
Karen,
want to add that don't
people...
forget the animals are here to teach us so many things about how what we were just talking about how to just live and forgive and just to be present and to enjoy every moment. They're just here for all of that, to remind us that.
They are. I believe they are. I believe they are human companions that are really helpers if we just realize that about them. They're going to transition before we are most often. That is part of the plan and is part of what we signed up for. It's we are supposed to love again. That part I know. Get another pet. Love again. Because they are just here for us. And so, Karen, how can people get in touch with you? Tell us where you are on the web. If anybody wants an animal communication reading with you, how can they find you?
They can find me at www.inspiration.etsy. It's Etsy.com. Or I'm on Facebook. I can be found under just Karen Clothier, Animal Communication Artist. I'm not sure what my link is there. Or they can friend me on Facebook as Karen Clothier. Or they can find me as Inspiration by Karen, which is my art, on Facebook. Or I can be emailed at gooddays@roadrunner.com.
That's wonderful. And Karen, you and I have something coming up soon on June 8th. I just wanted to let people know. If you're interested in Intuition 101 or just a beginner class of just getting in touch with your intuition and learning the lingo and what's it all about, what are the chakras about, what are the, you know, what are all the clairs? Am I clairsentient, claircognizant, clairvoyant, clairaudient? Getting in touch with some of those words and, you know, applying them to your life and learning how to get in tune with and trust your own intuition, as well as receiving animal communication readings from Karen or intuitive readings from me. We are doing that on June 8th. All the information is on my website at susantmullen.com under events. And I am on Facebook at Susan Mullen Intuitive Living. And Paula, where can we find you?
You can always reach me on Facebook at Think Care Share on Facebook or thinkcareshare.com. That website's being revised. It should be up and running soon. Or info at Think Care Share if you want to reach me by email.
Well, that is wonderful. So, Karen, we have a couple, you know, minute here or two. Do you have any tips you could give our listeners to, you know, how could they get in touch with or have a better relationship with their pets? If you could tell them something in a minute, what would that be?
I would close my eyes and just try to connect and just be one with that animal that you have and just be open to any messages that they might have for you, because they're trying to talk to you. And if you're open, you will hear them.
Right. Oh, amen. I agree.
Quiet your mind. Quiet. I mean, I have that meditation that I do in my class, which really connects with it. Were we going to do that, Susan, at that? I think we were going to do it on that Intuition 101.
We are.
Sure.
We're going to
do
the amazing meditation. Yes.
And that's a great way to connect with the pet, because it just puts you in that space that you just need to be in, that quiet space, that meditative space. And once you're there, I mean, just open. Just stay open. Just be open for anything.
And don't question.
Yeah, whatever you get is them. Don't question it. Second guess or anything. Whatever you hear is this them trying to connect with you.
Right, and they're always talking to us. And I have three cats too. My relationship completely changed after the class with you, and you know, working with you in different ways. It completely changed. I have talked to my animals. Sasha went and had her line cut and her everything done. She was completely fine because I told her about it, and I talked to her, and she received me. So I trusted she was hearing me, and she did. So.
Exactly. I mean, if you talk to them like you talk to a person, then you'll have a whole different relationship with them. It'll teach you a whole new respect. They're a soul just like people, and you wouldn't take a person to the hairdresser or, you know, whatever, to the doctor without explaining to that person where they were going. Well, animals, they love the same respect.
Yeah.
They love to be
apart.
People say to me, wow, your animals are, they know what you're saying. And I'm like, yeah, they do.
Exactly.
They
so
do,
I think
because
we,
I talk
we may
to
have,
them.
I don't know if we're ending here, but we want to say thank you and see you next week. And thank you, Karen, for joining us on this episode.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Good night.